Chapter 4. The Leaky Cauldron. It took Harry several days to get used to his strange new freedom. Never before had he been able to get up whenever he wanted or eat whatever he fancied. He could even go wherever he pleased as long as it was in Diagon Alley. And as this long cobbled street was packed with the most fascinating wizarding shops in the world, Harry felt no desire to break his word to Fudge and stray back into the Muggle world. Harry ate breakfast each morning in the Leaky Cauldron, where he liked watching the other guests, funny little witches from the country, up for a day's shopping, venerable-looking wizards arguing over the latest article in Transfiguration Today, wild-looking warlocks, raucous dwarfs, and once what looked suspiciously like a hag who ordered a plate of raw liver from behind a thick woolen balaclava. After breakfast, Harry would go out into the backyard, take out his wand, tap the third brick from the left above the trash bin, and stand back as the archway into Diagon Alley opened in the wall. Harry spent the long sunny days exploring the shops and eating under the brightly coloured umbrellas outside cafes where his fellow diners were showing one another their purchases.
"It's a lunarscope, old boy. No more messing around with moon charts, see?"
Or else discussing the case of Sirius Black.
"Personally, I won't let any of the children out alone until he's back in Azkaban."
Harry didn't have to do his homework under the blankets by flashlight anymore. Now he could sit in the bright sunshine outside Florian Fortescue's ice cream parlour, finishing all his essays with occasional help from Florian Fortescue himself, who, apart from knowing a great deal about medieval witch burnings, gave Harry free Sundays every half an hour. Once Harry had refilled his money bag with gold galleons, silver sickles and bronze canuts from his vault at Gringotts, he had to exercise a lot of self-control not to spend the whole lot at once. He had to keep reminding himself that he had 5 years to go at Hogwarts and how it would feel to ask the Dursleys for money for spellbooks, to stop himself from buying a handsome set of solid gold gobstones, a wizarding game rather like marbles, in which the stones squirt a nasty-smelling liquid into the other player's face when they lose a point. He was sorely tempted, too, by the perfect moving model of the galaxy in a large glass ball, which would have meant he never had to take another astronomy lesson. But the thing that tested Harry's resolution most appeared in his favourite shop, Quality Quidditch Supplies, a week after he'd arrived at the Leaky Cauldron. Curious to know what the crowd in the shop was staring at, Harry edged his way inside and squeezed in among the excited witches and wizards until he glimpsed a newly erected podium on which was mounted the most magnificent broom he had ever seen in his life.
"Just come out, prototype,"
a square-jawed wizard was telling his companion.
"It's the fastest broom in the world, isn't it, Dad?"
squeaked a boy younger than Harry, who was swinging off his father's arm.
"Irish international sides just put in an order for 7 of these beauties," the proprietor of the shop told the crowd, "and they're favourites for the World Cup."